Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football, where tonight we bring you the second entry into our series, Hall of Foot. Joining me tonight is Mr. Roberto Rojas, as always, and special guest Victor Canedo from Global Sport. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Tonight we have the pleasure of discussing Ronaldo Luis Nazario de Lima, otherwise known as Ronaldo El Fenomeno. And I'm very excited. This is, in my opinion, one of the greatest players of all time. A young player born in Rio. He started really his career in futsal and was recognized by Jairzinho which brought him over to Cruzeiro from his futsal playing days. Aside from his Flamengo opportunity, which would have been something that Ronaldo would have wanted because it was his boyhood club, but because they didn't want to pay for the bus ticket, they missed out on one of the greatest players of all time. Victor, I want to go to you first, and I want to ask you about his beginnings and your thoughts of his coming up through futsal, his recognition by another Brazilian great, and his start at Cruzeiro, which launched him over into Europe.
Hello. Hi, guys. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's a pleasure to talk about one of the greatest players I've ever seen. Of course, I guess Messi took his place in my heart. But before, it was Ronaldo's, both of them, Ronaldinho and Fenomeno. I follow him since I was like a teenage. So I watched a lot of videos about him as a teenager as well, starting at Cruzeiro, and it was like a really phenomenal. How can I say that? He developed really early, so he went to the World Cup just with 1 year of professional, score a lot of goals for Cruzeiro, and it's a kind of a bit strange nowadays. It's not that common that a player leave Rio de Janeiro, like a small club as San Cristóvão. And Jairzinho, you said he paid $10,000 for him and borrowed or something like that. Today is not allowed to do something like that, but he borrowed him to Cruzeiro or he sell him. I don't know what exactly it was a transition about, but it was incredible for him to develop his career. He played a lot, he had minutes, and almost like 1-2 years after, he was in Netherlands with a medal, a gold medal of the World Cup, playing for PSV. And of course, we will talk about it, but he developed it too early that Brazil opened our eyes, and it was incredible. So he went to Cruzeiro in his beginnings, and he scored a lot of goals. He was playing for Brazil for under 17 team, and then suddenly Brazil qualified for the World Cup in the last round, and he took place. It like Brazil is nowadays a 200 million country, and we produce a lot of center forwards, but he fought for his place, and he was there in the United States to conquer the World Cup for us. So of course, he hasn't played because we had Romário, Bebeto, and another Viola, another good forwards. But it was important for him to, create. There's an expression in Portuguese, like we say, criou casca, like
experience. Experience.
Yeah, it was something like that. For example, in the year after that, he was already playing our first team as a center forward with Romário and another good player. So we saw that talent. It was really important for him to play at Cruzeiro.
So Victor, going into outside of the football pitch, talking about Ronaldo's personality, and I think you mentioned a few names like Romario. You also mentioned about other players that have played with him, like Ronaldinho. You know, many players, those players who were very outspoken, who like to have a good time, you know, enjoyed themselves. What is Ronaldo perceived in Brazil in terms of personality ever since his, throughout his career, even to this day when he's not playing? Like, what, how is Ronaldo perceived the person in Brazil right now?
So there's a few phases. Of course, he has a such a great history when we talk about fighting, not fought for his life, but his career was in danger and three times because he suffered a lot of injuries, and then he went from the bottom to the gold medal to the World Cup. He conquered a lot, so he's a guy that he's well known for his believing, I guess. But of course, he had a few troubles off football, let's say. There's a story of him in the World Cup 2014. He was like member of FIFA, of the government here in Brazil, and there was a lot of criticisms around him because he said two bad things about it. There was a lot of spend, and he wasn't maybe taking his place as a guy who was born in poverty, raised, and suddenly he got rich, okay? But he was playing part of the government and not of the people. So people just not like that, just not like it. So after that, he's now a millionaire. He earned that, so congratulations. Now he's owner of Valladolid. He lives in Madrid, I guess, most part of his life. So he's not that present here anymore. Like Romário. Romário, for example, joined the politics. He was a senator, and he was an important person for us, for our people. Ronaldo, instead, followed another path. So his choice, okay, there's no problem about it.
And Joe, obviously going into kind of that life that he's had as the person, you know, I was doing a bit of reading here. And given the fact that how the sport really changed in the late 90s and how it was mainly globalized into the modern game, you know, Ronaldo was at the centerfold. You know, I think in 1996, he signed them to a 10-year contract and a lifetime endorsement deal at 20 years old. So he's always been associated with the sport itself and is definitely a great marketing tool. Years ever since his retirement.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, he was the first giant that was marketed, right? I mean, before him, his predecessor, I think for the most part, everyone would agree would be a guy like Maradona, to be that level of stature. But Maradona, you know, wasn't as marketed as, let's say, Ronaldo was. And to an extent, Pelé's marketing came when he came to the NASL and then really afterwards. So I think, you know, he was one of the first giants that fit the bill on the pitch as an all-time great and also as an all-time great marketing opportunity. And I think he took full advantage of that. It may have gone to his head a little bit, obviously, as the injuries came on in his career, going back to the perception of the player, he started to become a little bit more playful, I guess is the best way to describe it, where you see a lot of these modern day football. He became more like Neymar is today, right? With the parties and that sort of thing, where he wasn't quite that person, or at least it wasn't visible at the beginning of his career. So, you know, but that's the makeup of who he was. And when you hear about people talk about him as a kid, you hear about the playfulness and kind of the real enjoy. You almost picture an adult Ronaldinho, if you can, that kind of spirit and that kind of feel with Ronaldo. So I want to talk about the player's position. And Victor, I want to come back to you quickly. I want to, you know, Ronaldo's widely regarded as one of the greatest number nines to ever play this game. And he had all the tools. He had the speed. He had the strength. He had the smarts. He could play with both feet. For you, what was that his best position for the most part? I mean, I know he had the futsal background that allowed him the wonderful footwork. And I, as far as I know, I don't think I've ever seen him play anywhere other than number nine. But could Ronaldo have been a player, maybe played a different position if his fitness were perfect?
Yeah, he's not that tall. He's not that heavy. Okay, nowadays he's heavy, but not in that time before he got injured. So I guess he fitted more like a second striker, like a guy who could be in the area, but he could score everywhere. He's fast, but he for example, he hasn't scored a lot of goals, headed goals. So when we think about a center forward, we think a guy who is tall, who could work with his body. He was just fast, unstoppable. He had a great dribbling, a body control, and he just knew how to score goals. So I guess his best position, okay, maybe a center forward, but a different center forward, a different number nine. He is known as RN9, but he was maybe different than nowadays, like Lewandowski, for example. Lewandowski is a great number nine nowadays, but totally different than Ronaldo. During at least in the Barca and Inter days. Okay, Real Madrid, that thing changed a bit at Corinthians too, but Ronaldo was great playing outside the area. So maybe if I have to search a word to describe him, I would say a second striker, okay, a position maybe.
Okay. Rob, I want to kind of throw it over to you a little bit. Given Ronaldo's skill, given his talent, where would you have liked to have seen him play other than striker? Is there a spot that you think he might have been, functional at for a football club?
That's the thing. I don't think he could have, because I think back then, you know, he really was the new breed of a striker, you know, who would obviously operate outside of the penalty area before running with the ball towards goal. I think, you know, if he had to play probably a different position just because of his pace and his crossing ability, his vision and his movements all around, I think he'd be like a winger in a way, like similar to what like a Neymar is or even like what Messi is, you know, during his time. I mean, I think that's where I would personally think he would be best suited if he wasn't a striker. But yeah, Victor's right. I think he really is the one that was always going to be the one going forward, all pace, you know, exploding past defenders. I was like watching a few of his videos, you know, before we recorded during his goals at Barcelona. And it's incredible. He just goes past everyone like a bull, just like, incredible. And mind you, this guy was like 19, 20 years old at the time. And to see someone do that, I think we take advantage. And obviously, Victor, you know this because you've seen Ronaldo in his prime and now looking at other players, you know, it's normal for players to go past 2, 3, 4 players and then score like a Messi or Ronaldo, or using current examples, like maybe Mbappe or something like that. But back then, that wasn't the case. You know, this was a whole different area, like a PlayStation player. That's the perfect comparison that I can go with when comparing Ronaldo to his best position. So speaking of that, go ahead,
yeah,
Victor.
Yep. Compliment. His nickname when he played for Inter Milan was TGV. TGV was the name of a speed train in France. So this nickname was common, well-known during the World Cup, because it was not a train, a normal train. It was the best train, so like a locomotive. So he was always looking towards the goal, and he was unstoppable then. It was really a pity when he got injured in 1999, because he could really be crowded as a best player in 2000, 2001, and then such a pity. But of course, his career says it all. He's still one of the greatest, but it's just a pity because he was 100% with the Tunis working. He was really unstoppable.
For sure. And now going into his prime, his career, I think we have to go into some of the things that he won. Obviously, we'll talk about the World Cups that he won later on. But going that from an individual standpoint, this is a guy that won the Ballon d'Or twice. He won the World Player of the Year. He was the best player basically before, when he was a teenager, just before he hit his 20s, when he was at Barcelona and then at Inter. And then obviously at his time at Real Madrid. But for you, Victor, knowing how big Ronaldo has been in the clubs that he played at, where did we see the best Ronaldo? You know, was it the one season at Barcelona? Was it during Inter? Was it even during Real Madrid when he came back basically from his injury? Where did we see the best Ronaldo basically in his prime, in the best physical shape as a player that he was? Where was it, and even a season where you thought this was the best Ronaldo that he had in his career?
Some people say it was during the World Cup 2002 because he scored a lot of goals. He scored in the round of 16, semifinal, two goals in the final. He was the best player then. But it's just a World Cup. Okay, just not just a World Cup. But it's a seven championship game, so seven game championship. So I guess I'm going back to Inter Milan and Barcelona days when he was really quick. His dribbling skills was amazing. He was intelligent, clever, and of course there are a lot of great PSV goals. When he played before Barcelona in the Eredivisie in Netherlands, he was great back then, almost scoring a goal for a game. He repeated that in Barcelona. And Inter Milan, of course, he got injured and he suffered a little bit. But before the World Cup, and I guess there's a game that you could search for the highlights, and you perceived how good he was in that time. It was Brazil against Netherlands, semifinal of 1998 World Cup in France. He was really good. I could remember, and I've seen these highlights quite a few in my life. So he was really a TGV. He was great then. That's a hint. So you could search for it. You will love it, for sure.
Definitely. He really was that kind of unstoppable force. And Joe, mm-hmm. just, you know, going into that and probably asking you the same thing,
yeah.
It's really, we take for granted how many players are so expensive nowadays. You know, your Neymars, your Kylian Mbappes, even your Erling Haalands, where I'm sure if he continues his rise to stardom, he could be more expensive than and more valuable than what he is now. But think about how, obviously, the game's changed. And, you know, he was actually the first player since Diego Maradona to break the world transfer fee twice, going to Barcelona and then going to Inter Milan, all within a year. I mean, you talk about what Ronaldo was before those serious injuries and his recovering forward and his kind of his second coming, you would say, at Real Madrid, and then, obviously, what he did for Brazil. But, you know, for that time, in his 20s, in his early 20s, when he was at Barcelona and Inter, he was just unplayable. He was just absolutely out of this game. And God knows how much he would be worth if that Ronaldo in his early 20s would be playing in this type of game in 2020.
Yeah, you know, I and this will kind of lead me into my next segment. He was such a physical specimen. We've talked about this before, that what really did Ronaldo in was the injuries. And you think about a healthy Ronaldo. First of all, a healthy Ronaldo probably does not leave Inter when he does that so soon and goes to Real Madrid. Although you wonder, that was the time when Bartolomeo started the Galacticos project, and, you know, Florentino Perez, Spanish giant. Florentino Perez was starting the the big project with Galacticos right around that time, that late 90s, mid to late 90s, and moving forward. And here comes, you know, arguably the best player in the world at the time. So I think, you know, he would have gone there, but you think of what the career would have been. And I think so the injuries for me did him in, but his value, you know, going back to what you say, would have been enormous. You know, he probably would have, if it would have been possible, he would have broken that transfer record again, moving back to AC Milan. You got to remember that at the time as well, AC Milan was another giant and they were able to bring him in from Real Madrid at that time. So you have the biggest piece in world football. Just picture. I know we talk about the Messi Ronaldo rivalry, the Cristiano Ronaldo rivalry. Picture it as just Messi. Okay, and a just Messi that's willing to move. That's Ronaldo at this time in the game. I mean, I know we talk about David Beckham, we talk about a few other pieces like that, but he was really, physically speaking, he was more gifted than anybody, and I think he would have commandeered a massive price, even a third or even possibly a fourth time after that, if there was somebody capable of paying off his fee. So I for me, that would have been his path had he stayed healthy. But before he got injured, you know, repeatedly, he had some iconic moments. There was the goal that many referred to when he played for Barcelona against Compostela, that he dribbled through about six or seven people with guys really hanging off of him. They're the two goals he scored in the World Cup final against Germany, winning the World Cup himself. You know, he was the top goal scorer in that 02 World Cup as well. You know, at the time he had broken Pele's record for most goals scored in the World Cup. Victor, I want to go to you and ask you, for your opinion, what is Ronaldo's most famous moment in football? Was it the 2-0 victory against Germany? Was it the goal against Compostela? Was there another moment that you can think of? Five goals against Bahia when he went to Cruzeiro. What is the moment for you that really set Ronaldo apart?
There are quite a few moments that we could say, whoa, but of course for us, for all of the Brazilians, it was our last World Cup, scoring two goals in the final. And that World Cup in particular, he won for us. Okay, not alone, because Rivaldo was great too, Ronaldinho, Marcos, our goalkeeper, Cafu, Roberto Carlos. We had a great team. It's impossible to win a World Cup without a good team. But Ronaldo was incredible and against all the odds, because he hasn't played since, I don't know, he got injured in 2000 again, I guess, 2001, and he probably played his first matches during the World Cup. So it was incredible what he did. So we have to say those two goals in the final of the World Cup.
Okay, Rob, I want to hit you with the same question. What do you think was Ronaldo's greatest moment?
Yeah, I think we have to really echo what Victor said. I think for the Brazilian people who demand so much, where you go into a World Cup where essentially it's win or bust. That's basically it. Like,
they don't care if you were good enough to win the Champions League, but they just care about the World Cup. The common people, yeah.
Definitely. It's like you can go to a final and that kind of thing. Yeah. But in the end, that going to a final and losing it is probably the same feeling as getting eliminated in the group stage or something. So that's how serious and how much. And it makes sense given they are the most successful team in the history of the sport. So I think
that's
for anyone
changing.
To give. Yeah, of course. Oh, too much. Yeah. That's for sure. But I think for anyone that is mainly when you look at the greats who play. You know, they always have one iconic moment, and obviously we'll get to the many legends that we talk. Sometimes it's now decreased because their inability to win a World Cup, you know, obviously like a Messi or Ronaldo, that kind of thing. But when we talk about phenomena, we talk about players like Diego Maradona, you talk about Pele, you know, you talk about Zidane, you know, you talk about all those great players who won, and they did so because they won the World Cup and became those legends. So for him, you know, basically getting into that World Cup, as Victor said, with basically playing his first few games, coming back from injury after numerous amounts of months of not playing, essentially also being written off of saying that maybe he was never going to play football ever again. You know, the kind of miracle that was to go into a World Cup, and remind you also a World Cup that for Brazilians, or at least at the time, you know, they weren't considered favorites to win. So that just showed how much of a force of nature and how special he was to go there and become the top goal scorer and to score those two goals in the final to give them the World Cup. I think outside of anything, and I think that's the pinnacle for – it can be the pinnacle for any career, but I think for Ronaldo and what he's been able to achieve, that comeback from basically the bottom – you know, going from the bottom all the way to the top of the mountain and score those two goals against Germany in the final, I think that was able to put him into the pantheon of world greats of all time. And, you know, just going into that as well, Victor, I mean, we kind of also have to talk about the Ronaldo he is. I mean, given, you know, he kind of mentioned it at the top ever since his retirement, and it was a shame the fact that he retired so early, you know, in 2011. I think he was 34, 33, something 34, like that.
Yeah,
and for some players, like, you know, nowadays, you know, you talk about your players like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you talk about players like, the players that are still playing who are strikers and are continuing to play week in and week out. It's just unfortunate that someone of Ronaldo's capability was to retire too early, but when you had those many injuries and unfortunately overweight problems, it takes a toll. But having said that, you know, you look at kind of the businessman that Ronaldo is, the kind of ambassador that he is. I'm just looking at some research. You did say he is the owner of Real Valladolid in La Liga. You know, he's been ambassador for the game. He does a lot of stuff with Nike. He's very much in the spotlight as well. But the one thing that we don't really see is his, just going into that, Victor, was that always something that was interested for Ronaldo? Was that always something, was that always the path that he wanted? You know, because a lot of players now, or back then, you know, go into coaching or go into, I mean, he does TV as well, but, you know, go into coaching or works more as a more administrative point of view in football perspectives. Was that always the career that Ronaldo wanted ever since he retired?
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe that changed it. Of course, when you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of stuff. So he invested now in Real Valladolid. Maybe he could be a great owner in the future. He is already a great, not manager, but... I forgot.
Like a president.
You can say, and he's also a great businessman, and he was he worked as a pundit for Global during the World Cup of 2014, and maybe a few years before and later, but he wasn't that good, like Gary Neville, for example, in Sky Sports. In Great Britain, so he found another thing to do. Maybe he's preparing to be a great businessman in the future.
Very, very true. You know, to finish up and to wrap up our interview, Victor, I want to ask you: when we talk about El Fenomeno, we talked about him as a number nine. Where does he rank for you among players that played the similar position as him in the history of world football? And again, there's some massive names that you could put up next to him, whether it be Pele, Eusebio, Puskas, Romario, who we followed from 94 into 98 and beyond, Marco van Basten. I mean, the list goes on and on. Even today's greats like Robert Lewandowski. Where does Ronaldo rank for you among the greatest number nines of all time?
Yeah, I haven't seen most of them, mm-hmm. because I started to watch football in the late 90s. So I do not have that power to rank Ronaldo above and Romário above of them. But here in Brazil, it's such a great rivalry at the tables bar in the because when we talk about Romário, who is loved by people who lives in Rio de Janeiro because he played for Vasco, Flamengo and Fluminense, and we have Ronaldo in the other hand, who is Carioca as well. He was born in Rio, but he hasn't played for Flamengo. He joined Corinthians in later of his career. But he did more things for our national team, I guess. He played more games. He won two World Cups. Of course, one of them not playing, but he's still great. That's a great discussion here between Ronaldo and Romario. I cannot say about Puskas, Marco van Basten, and another great strikers that we had in football. But I could say that this opinion here is split at most. I guess it's 50-50 here in Brazil, who was best, Romario or Ronaldo. And that's a tough one. After that, we had a great strikers like Thierry Henry, who wasn't that number nine as well, but he could play it there. And well, nowadays, Aguero, Lewandowski, Cristiano Ronaldo, who actually turned it into a number nine, but in his back, he's got a number seven. But I guess Ronaldo are better than everyone else after him.
Would you choose Romario or Ronaldo? Which one would you choose?
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. That's impossible. Yeah. That's maybe we could do a program, a podcast about it. And invite a few people, and we will spend 2 hours here discussing.
I'd be all for it. So, Victor, yeah. I want to thank you for joining us and helping us talk about El Fenomeno. And Rob, again, as always, I thank you for joining me as well. So, for Victor Canedo, for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football, as we previewed the great El Fenomeno Ronaldo. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and good night.